sort of disk, hard disk forensics concepts, if you like. First thing we want to do when we analyze a disk is analyze the file system structure of the disk. And that includes finding all the files in the file system, also finding the deleted files if we are able to. Depending on the file system, we may be able to determine files which have been deleted and not yet overwritten or partially overwritten. When we analyze the file system in a forensics context, rather than just finding the files themselves, we also find all the metadata associated with those files. And that includes all the timestamps, which may be important to an investigation, and also we know actually which blocks these files occupy on the disk, so we can build a sort of map of the disk and see there's files here, there's no files here, and then we can immediately see where there's slack space and unallocated space. Another important forensic technique is file typing. Basically, this is just the same as typing file on a file to find out using looking at the file's magic to determine the type of that file rather than trusting the extension. Another useful technique is file hashing, and what we do there is take every single file on the file system, do an MD5 or a SHA hash on that, and then look it up against a database of known good and known bad files. There's a couple of projects in the community that maintain these databases. So in a typical forensics investigation, you may be looking at a Windows box, for instance, may have thousands of files on it, and if you can positively identify maybe half or two-thirds of those files, then you can really speed up your investigation because you can immediately rule out those files which have matched as known good files from vendors such as Microsoft. Unless you count Microsoft as being a malware itself. Another useful technique is keyword indexing. Often in a case, certain keywords, maybe unique sort of keywords, times, places, people's names, surnames and so forth might be interesting, so you might want to find all the occurrences of those keywords on a disk. Or perhaps you're looking for security classifications and that sort of thing. Forensically interesting files, typically you'll want to specifically analyse some types of files that you're going to find on your hard drive. And that includes Windows registries, there's a lot of information in there. Internet Explorer browsing history may be relevant. Mailboxes certainly are often relevant. And finally, virus scanning is not a bad one to do while you're at it. What I've got in this slide is basically some of the subsystems, if you like, of FLAG, which provide these capabilities. First of all, the I.O. subsystem is an abstraction in FLAG which allows us to support a variety of different image formats. So what I mean by that is that when you do a job, you may be given a DD image of a hard disk, for instance, just a raw DD image of a hard disk, or you may be given a DD image of just a partition in the hard disk. So if you're given a hard disk, you'll need to first calculate the offset to the partition and so forth. Other examples are you may be given an image that was created with a proprietary imaging tool, such as Encase. Encase, for those who don't know, is a popular Windows forensics package, and it has its own file format, which is a compressed file format. So by making this abstraction, the rest of FLAG just sits on top of this abstraction and just sees a stream of data. So we're able to support all sorts of image types underneath transparently. At the next level up, we have file system drivers. And that's what gives us all the access to all the file system metadata, tells us where the files are, what files are deleted, and so on. And PyFLAG predominantly uses the SleuthKit tool at the moment. SleuthKit is an open source disk forensics toolkit, and it supports a number of different file formats, including NTFS and FAT32 and EXT2 and 3. And this is a level of abstraction as well, so we can easily add more drivers as we need to. When a case is loaded into FLAG, each file is scanned through file scanners, And these file scanners are what provide the ability to virus scan files, MD5 hash files, file type identification, and also automatically interpret all those interesting files that we may be interested in, such as Windows registries, IE histories, and so on. And finally, virtual file systems. I've got another slide on virtual file systems and go into a little more detail there. Sometimes a file itself is very much like a file system, and this is quite typical of a lot of file formats. The simplest case is archives such as tar and zip. So inside a tar file or a zip file, you have lots and lots of other files. And it's useful to be able to see these in when you're investigating a hard drive. Other not so obvious examples are files such as PST files, which are your Microsoft Outlook personal mail folders. They can be represented in a tree file-like structure as well. And other, even more simple examples are compressed files. So GZIP and BZIP are examples of compressed files. So inside a compressed file, we have an uncompressed file. So we can logically think of the uncompressed file as being a child of the compressed file. And what we wish to do in FLAG is find all of these files inside other files and relink them into the tree so that they become part of the virtual file system in FLAG. And this will become much more obvious as I provide a demo. I already touched on this. Our file scanners provide most of the disk forensics capability, including the hashing and typing. And as a file scanner runs, it's able to discover new files, such as the zip file scanner will discover all the files inside the zip and add those to the tree. And the important thing to realize is that once they're added to the tree, they appear to FLAG just like any other file does, even though they're virtual, and they will also be subjected to the same scanning. So if we have a zip file inside a zip file and so on, that will just come out in the wash. I'm going to give you a demo now of the hard disk forensics capabilities of FLAG. So this is our little fictitious scenario. And we want to try and prove if Tony was in fact in the vicinity of Las Vegas on 30th of July 2003. And so we've acquired Tony's laptop and we're going to analyze it now. I'll create a new case to store this data in. Load a disk image into this case. I talked about the I/O subsystem abstraction, and here's where we get to choose which I/O subsystem to use. EWF is the encase format. SGZIP is another compressed format that we use. We can even operate on RAID. I won't go into the details just now. We've got a plain DD image of the partition of a partition on Tony's laptop, so we're going to choose the standard I/O subsystem. And then choose this image here. Each time we load an image into FLAG, we need to give it a sort of unique identifier. So I'm going to call this Tony Laptop. What's happened in the background is that the I/O subsystem has been initialized, and now it's giving us this stream of data. And the next step is to analyze the file system on this data. And here's where we get to choose which scanners we want to enable and disable. And it's a bit of a performance trade-off, really. If you recurse into all the zip files, then obviously if you're looking at you might be looking at something like a Debian mirror, for instance, it'll have millions of compressed files. So what we can do is actually turn them off, and I'll show you how some of them we can turn back on later just for specific subdirectories. I'm going to leave this at the defaults for now. Finally, we need to tell FLAG what type of file system we have on this data. And as a little helper, we've run a magic against it, and it's told us that it thinks it's X2, so that's good enough for me. And we'll hit submit. What's happening in the background is that all the files in this file system are being analyzed. You can see a bunch of debugging messages scrolling past the screen there. And it's finished. So the first thing we want to do is just have a casual sort of browse around and see what Tony's got on his laptop. And these are just the files in the root directory. We've got a couple of images, some zip files, and so on. We can already see here that he seems to have this file, which might be of interest, Don Vito's private key. So we can click on the inode and open that file up in a new tab. So what we're seeing here is the file viewer. In the first pane, we have a bunch of statistics about the file. We have it's a modified, accessed, and created times. We can also get a hex dump of the contents of the file, or we can run a strings on the file. And finally, if we want to examine this, we can download it. Well, what it looks like is that we have a private key, an SSH private key. So it's a private key that probably belongs to Don Vito, so we better download it. And it could be that Tony used this to log into Don's laptop and check his calendar and find out when he was going to be at Las Vegas. Hit on the download link there and we can perform whatever action is appropriate. I've just opened it up in the text file and you can see that we've retrieved that file. Let's see what else Tony's got on his laptop here. There's a bunch of JPEGs. I wonder what he's got in those. Looks like a picture of Linus wearing some virtual reality gear. Let's see what other pictures he's got. Here's one of Linus being dunked. So it looks like Tony's a bit of a Linux fan as well, and in fact it looks like Tony turned up to last year's LinuxConf. But that's not where the Don was murdered, so we'll keep moving on from here. We're looking at the file system in a tree view. This is sort of a fairly intuitive kind of way of browsing around a file system, much like an Explorer sort of interface. But it's not always the easiest way to search and see everything at once. So an alternative is the table view. So what we're looking at here is every single file in the file system and a few of their properties. And it's important to note that whenever we see a table that looks like this in flag, it uses the same table GUI that I introduced in the log analysis. So we can do any sorts of things here. We can sort by the columns, we can group by the columns, we can search the fields and so on. I'm going to have a look and see what sort of documents you might have on here. So let's see if there's any doc files. Oop. My search isn't very good because I've matched the directory documents and settings. I'll remove that filter and try again. If you put your own wildcards in, then flag won't add any more. So we can go %doc, and that will only match doc at the end of that field. And we found a document here. So I'm going to have a look at that document now. Open it up in a new tab, and we can see that what we've got here is a Microsoft Office document. I'm going to download it and have a quick look at it. Looks like he's hiding some secrets in his Word documents. Now, something I want to point out here is the inode number that I've got highlighted. It's a big sort of funny looking number, and it's actually broken down into parts, and I'm going to explain how the virtual file system works. Basically, if you look at the path to this, we've got Documents and Settings, Administrator, Outlook.pst, /sent-items-email-document. If you look at the inode, we've got a little funny pipe character in the inode. What's actually happened here is this file does not exist in the regular file system, but is in fact inside, is an email attachment inside Tony's Outlook file folder. So the way the virtual file system works is the view file component of flag just says to flag, please go grab me this file. And flag will look at the first part, D1285, and it will say, okay, I'm going to use the D driver, which is the regular file system driver, and grab inode 1285. After I've done that, I'm going to pass it to the P driver, which is the PST driver, and retrieve this unique record out of that PST file. So we can see how this document doesn't even exist in the real file system, but we're able to query it and search it using all the standard tools in PyFlag. Let's try and find another example. Looks like we've got a PowerPoint document in another email attachment here as well. Tony doesn't know a lot about securing his computer and keeping his secrets secret. Let's return to the root directory. See what else he's got. We can see there's a zip file here, and a gzip file, and another zip file. But if you recall, when we loaded this file system, we didn't actually select the zip scanner. So we're unable to recurse into these zip files. So now that we've found them, we know that they're there, we may wish to enable that. And we can do this by clicking on the tool up the top here to rescan any part of the tree. So I could, I'm going to do it on the root, but we may be sort of several levels down in the file system, and just choose to rescan one section of the file system. And it comes up and shows us what we've scanned so far. I'm going to add to the list the gzip.